Good morning. So, I'm not the first one to comment on this, but I'm going to comment upon it. We've made a transition over the last few weeks from the people of God, the great heroes of the faith. I'll pick some of my favorites: Abraham, Moses, David, Mary, Peter, Paul. Paul, Peter, if you prefer. And we've arrived at a new place. Because we've transitioned from the people of God to we are the people of God. And you know, that can be quite a daunting thought, can't it? That God is investing him in us. And you know what? We can emulate all those great heroes of the faith. Because one of the things I learned, one of the things I carried out of those studies that we did, was they weren't marked out by brilliance. They weren't marked out by their gifting. Most of them were actually deeply flawed. They were marked out by their love of God and their determination to pursue his purposes no matter what. And actually, one of those songs there that we were singing towards the end, I looked at the words and I thought, my goodness me, if we really read those words, would we be singing them? Would we be singing them? And there's a sense in which I find myself almost totally inadequate given this morning. So please bear with me. Living like heaven is near. You know, Andy started us off on this a little while ago now, looking at that very core of our vision, to bring the life of Jesus everywhere we go. That's living like heaven's near. Kerry talked to us about looking on the face of Christ. See, that's where it all starts. Our source, our inspiration. We can't do any of this without him. And we shouldn't try. Colin talked to us about loving everybody we meet. Not those that we love. Not those that love us. But loving the unlovely. Sacrificial love. And today, we arrive at living like heaven is near. You do me a favor, just hold out your hands. Have a look at those hands. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right there in front of you, if you choose for it to be. Just at the end of those fingers, Andrew, that's it. Every time you walk into one of your clients' homes, you take the kingdom of God right at the end of these wonderful hands. Father God, bless him. That's where the kingdom is. It's right at the end of your hands. It isn't a place relegated to the future. Nor is it a place you go to when you die. It isn't, thank God, a caliphate somewhere in the Middle East. It's wherever you choose to take it. This picture is the backdrop to where River Marlow meet. Andy took it for me. And I was speaking over there a little while ago, and I'd never noticed it, actually. I've been in and out a number of times. I'd never noticed this picture, but take a look at it. For me, it represents Ezekiel 47, which is the very underpinning of our vision statement. So it's a little bit back to front, but bear with me. The top here, look at that, the sunrise, the light and warmth of God spreading hope, dispelling darkness. Then you've got this wonderful river flowing into the sea. Dolphins, I think they're dolphins, whales maybe, but all sorts of creatures there. Down the right-hand bank here, look, we've got mountains. We've got the world visualized. And because it was a sixth form student that did this, we've got an art palette. We've got an L on a car. We've got all sorts of light bulbs and ideas and life coming, bursting out the bottom. As we go up here, we've got UCAS, hope, future. That's what the kingdom's supposed to represent. Life, hope, future, purpose. And then at the top, my favorite bit. Look at that. Radiant colors, a kaleidoscope of colors. People dancing and raising their hands, I'm going to say, in worship of God. I've no idea whether that was how it was intended. But I take this as the manifold wisdom of God. The multifaceted, multidimensioned, multicolored wisdom of God that, guess what? It flows through you and you and you. Because here's the amazing thing. God has chosen to unveil his upside down kingdom, this sacrificial servant kingdom, through us, the church. And to the extent that we choose to take on that challenge, we declare to principalities and powers that God's way is the right way. Wow. So where are we going to go this morning? Well, I'd like us to just get a taste of kingdom, just looking at that Ezekiel 47 passage. But, you know, that's kind of another prophetic picture. We need to interpret. So how best a day in the life? Well, actually, it's a half chapter in the life of, guess who? Jesus. Couldn't be anybody else, could it? Then we'll take a look at our vision rondel and just focus in on living like heaven's near. And finally ask that big question at the end. So what? What does it mean for me? Before I read this scripture, I'd just like to remind us of that passage in Ezekiel. In fact, we've got to go back beyond chapter 47 to understand what's going on. Because Ezekiel's been taken in a vision and shown the royal city. And right in the middle of that royal city is a temple, the presence of God. And flowing from underneath the threshold of the temple is a trickle, a stream that finds its way out through the city and then becomes the mighty river that Ezekiel then describes. Listen to this. The water flows towards the eastern region and enters the Dead Sea, and where it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever that river flows. There'll be large numbers of fish, many kinds, because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. There'll be places for spreading of nets. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. Every month they'll bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows there. Their fruit will serve for food. Their leaves for healing. Here's another prophetic picture. This one was drawn by Richard back in, I think, July, as we launched this vision statement. And here we have the river in the top corner there left. Both banks, bridge across it, maybe that's crossing the Thames, I don't know, connecting Maidenhead and Marlow. And then down the bottom we got human beings beginning to get their feet wet, wading in the river and finally swimming out in the open land, open river. What does this mean? Well, in the full picture of Ezekiel, the river flows from the sanctuary. It flows from the very presence of God. It is the life of God. Translate that into we are the river. And as we channel ourselves out into this needy world, we take that life of God with us. And in the vision, everywhere the life of God touches is brought to life. You've got trees in abundance, fruit bearing fruit every month. Sorry, trees bearing fruit every month. You've got fish in abundance. And that's the impact. It's a prophetic picture, but that's the impact that God wants us to have as we go out into, as Scott reminded us, the place where we are called to be. And note this. By implication, there is some form of work going on because somebody's doing the fishing and somebody's looking after the nets and somebody's gathering the fruit. And by implication, there is still sickness there because the leaves are for healing. But the kingdom isn't defined by either. The kingdom isn't defined by either. So let's see if we can bring this into some form of practical thing. What might that mean? A day in the life of Jesus, man of action. I've chosen Mark. You've got to, haven't you? Mark, that book that paints an energetic picture of Jesus moving from place to place. There's always something going on. He never seems to be stopping. There's miracle after miracle after miracle. People released. People set free. People given hope. And right at the middle of chapter 1, which neatly splits between the beginning part, announcing Jesus, Jesus being baptized, and then it launches into Jesus' ministry. There's no time wasted. Jesus says this. Now bear in mind, this is 2,000 years ago. So we're not talking about a future statement here. This is now. And here's what he said. At last, the fulfillment of the age has come. It's time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in all its fullness. Wow. Can you say today, can I say today, that we are experiencing the realm of God's kingdom in all its fullness? And yet Jesus said, at last, it's here. I don't have time to read all of Mark to you, though I'd love to do it. But I'm going to just read the headings from my Bible. It's the Passion Translation. Heading number 1, as we embark on just the second half of the chapter. Jesus calls 4 fishermen to follow him. Now I have no idea how many fishermen he walked by along that lakeside. And if I said to Rachel as I bumped into her in town and I've never met her before, come follow me, what do you think she'd do? Unlikely, isn't it? But there's something about Jesus. He spent time listening to the Father. He sees the fisherman, Ben, there on the bank. He's got a word of knowledge that says, Ben's the man. He speaks with such compelling authority that Ben drops everything he's up to and follows Jesus. Wow. Do you think you might have that impact? People stunned by Jesus' teaching. Stunned's a pretty evocative word, isn't it? Yeah, there's a lot of emotion in that word, stunned. Jesus stunned people with his teaching. Why? Well, it wasn't just academic. It wasn't just that he knew what he was talking about. And I don't think it was just because it was wise. But it came with authority and it came with insight. And it came with love. And it came with grace and it came with power. And people felt released and compelled. When we're in those situations that Scott was referring to, in our workplace, in the schoolyard, wherever it else it may be, and we come across need, do we speak with the same authority and power? Jesus heals many. I don't want to exaggerate here. I might have said millions, I've no idea. But there's at least tens just in that little passage that he talks about. And there's every form of healing. He heals the mind. We hear a lot about mental illness in these days. People's minds were healed. People's bodies were healed. Actually, it doesn't say it in this particular bit. You've got to read on a couple of pages. But people were raised from the dead. People were set free. People were given hope. And then the last little thing here is Jesus prays, preaches, heals, and casts out demons. It's almost like Mark's run out. I've got to get it all in now. Preaches, speaks the truth, talks about God's kingdom, and people followed. They went in their thousands to sit and listen. People healed, demons cast out, evil confronted. And I've left the prayer bit till last because all of this was based on sacrificial prayer. He got up early in the morning, went to talk to Father. Who do I need to speak to today? What is it you want me to do today? Who is it I'm going to heal today? So how's today been for you? What are we on? 20 to 12? How's today been for you? I confess that I got up relatively early. I have prayed. I have read the Word. I've read the Bible. I haven't seen hope for the hopeless, sight for the sightless. I haven't seen release of captives. And with the exception of me stood here today talking to you, largely a bunch of believing individuals, I haven't proclaimed God's favor. And it seems to me that if Jesus claimed that as his commission, and he did as he launched his public ministry, as he stood up in Nazareth, then we inherit that commission too. Because we're all Jesus's. It's part of God's cunning plan to multiply one to many. One in a location to many all over the world. You see, where his hands, his feet, where his body, he's the head. And to the extent that we take the flow of God's life out into the world, wherever we are, we extend his kingdom. So take a look at this vision, Rundle. Right at the very center, as I said, to bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we go, wherever we are, whoever we meet. You could put all those things into that. And then that orange section, living like heaven is near. There are two dimensions in there. Two dimensions that should mark us out. The first one, every member in ministry for fulfilling their spirit-led calling. Now, Scott talked to what that is. Forgive me, I'm going to repeat some of it. But what does it mean? Well, here's what I think primarily doesn't mean. It doesn't mean we've all got to be like Kerry and sign up to be ministers in the church and be here on a Sunday morning. In fact, for many of us, it might not actually be the church which is predominantly our calling. It's wherever we are. Just take me, for example. Yeah? God's given me some gifts. He's given you gifts too. I can't tell you what the gifts are that he's given to you. But the ones he's given to me is, I think, reasonably strategically. I'm not the world's best, but I can do it. I can then translate that thinking into a plan. I think I'm pretty good at communicating the plan, marshalling people then and leading to get that plan delivered. Those are the things, the gifts he's given me. And over a lifetime, nearly, he's placed me in business, which is not a bad place to be if you've got those sorts of giftings because it hones those skills for you. But here's the thing. How do I use them? Clearly, I got to use them on behalf of the business because somebody's paying me. So I ought to actually do them that service. But I can actually use those gifts to further my own ends, to further my career, to further my earning opportunity, to further Simon. But that's not what God wants. God's placed me in those situations to represent him. To represent him with integrity. To walk in that place as God's representative. To speak out when things need saying. Jane works in a Catholic school. She's assistant head, but actually her joy is teaching. And a favorite subject, you can ask her later if I've got this right, Mr. and Mrs., we'll see, is RE, religious education. Why? Well, given that it is a Catholic school, she daily has the opportunity to lead those 6 and 7 year olds, 6 and 7 year olds in worship. And every now and again, she gets the opportunity to pray for them because something arises. And every now and again, there's an opportunity for that to extend to the parents and the staff too. That's what it means. What's your gifting? What's God given you? And where's he placed you? And are you walking with integrity as his representative wherever you go? That's what every member in ministry fulfilling their spirit-led calling means. Now here's the second one. Here's the second one, and the one primarily where I said to you right at the beginning of this, I find myself inadequate talking about this. Courageously expecting God to do the impossible through each one of us. Wow. Wow. I have to say this is my heart's desire. But I also have to tell you that I fall over frequently in aspiring to this. Here's a little cameo for you, almost insignificant. But Ian Linton, when he came back having fallen off his bike, dozy man, dislocated and fractured his shoulder, was sat over there. And there's a group of us listening to the story, and if we're honest, sympathizing. Mike was there. I was there. Can't remember who else was there. And what he didn't know, because I didn't tell him, was I'd actually fractured my shoulder, not fractured, dislocated my shoulder 2 years ago when I came off my push bike. Again, dozy man. Hit some black ice just before Christmas. And what I didn't tell him is, though my arm kind of works now, I frequently have issues with this. The last thing I wanted to do was tell Ian about my experience. But what it also did, by the way, was sow little seeds of doubt into, I'm going to step forward and pray because I know God's miraculous power is going to flow through me and heal this man. So my wife, who can be pretty black and white sometimes, comes along, and I don't know whether you remember this, Mike. She said, what are you guys all just sympathizing with him for? Why don't you pray? And here's the thing she prayed, because she asked Ian, what would you like me to pray for? And he said, well, we've spent all this money and it's all down the toilet, but we're supposed to be meeting up in South Africa. Liz was supposed to be going to South Africa to meet up with him, who's supposed to by then have got his motorbike down there. He said, and I'd dearly love to be able to get on that plane. He said, but right now the doctors won't sign me off. The insurance company won't insure me. It's just not going to happen. It's more money down the toilet. So Jane prayed. The key date was the 4th of October. Yeah, Mike's nodding. You remember that. Well, Ian, come out wherever you are. He's not here. Guess where he is? South Africa. South Africa. Now, we can't say he was miraculously healed because he's still wearing the sling. I saw him on Thursday. But he is where he wanted to be and where that prayer delivered him. Now that is just a minor thing in the grand scheme of things. Because as Scott reminded us, now you put yourself in the workplace and there's the person that walks in, and these are real examples, by the way. There's the person that walks in and finds his daughters who is an aspiring elite athlete and only 11, needs to have a knee and a hip operation. Or the next guy that walks in and says, look, I need to go early today because my mother has had to go into hospital with a panic attack. She's aged because my brother had a heart attack overnight and they're in the same hospital. Or you get the guy that comes in and sits next to you and says, my dog died. We've had him for 15 years. He's a member of the family. What do you do? What do you do? Do you sympathize? Never mind. It's only a dog. By the way, I say that in a joking format. We had a dog that died a few years ago. There's still pictures of him all over the house. Not entirely unsympathetic. But what do you do in those situations? That's where courageously expecting God to do the impossible through each one of us is where, that's where it hits the road. The rubber really hits the road there. You know, I just read the web account of the story that Sadie told. I encourage you all to do it. Google man forgiving murderer in US courtroom. Very, very powerful. Because actually, bringing the kingdom to bear might not be praying for somebody to be healed. It might actually be forgiving somebody for something that they've done that in their minds probably doesn't deserve forgiving. It might be sitting together with somebody and giving them hope when they're in despair. It might be laying your hands on somebody and praying for their healing. Or it might be like Jesus walking along those banks, suddenly getting an insight and saying, follow Jesus, he's the way. And that's what living like heaven's is near is like. It's stepping into the gap between the source, God's life and God's love, and bridging that gap with your hand to reach out and touch the needy world. So what's the so what in all of this? Do you know what? I'm glad I got up early because I was going to say something different this time yesterday to what I'm now going to say, because all of this can sound heavy, can't it? Sounds like another list of things you've got to do, another set of tasks you've got to measure yourself against. How am I doing? Did I score 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10? And God said to me, I want you to change the way in which you're going to relate this. Because so many of us live our lives in, when I have, then I'll do, and I'll be. When I have courage, then I'll step forward and do it, and then I'll be fulfilling what God said. Switch it around. Be. Do. Have. Here's what I mean. John 14. I'm going to read you three things. Not necessarily in the order of the chapter. Whoever passionately loves me. This is Jesus talking. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Be a passionate lover of Jesus. You know, it goes back to looking on the face of Christ. He's the source, he's the inspiration for everything that we do. And rather than trying to screw up your courage or wind yourself up to be all these things we've talked about, actually the source for it all is being a passionate lover of Jesus. Because if you're a passionate lover of Jesus, you're passionately loved by Jesus. And when you're passionately loved by Jesus, he manifests his life through you. And if Jesus is manifesting his life through you, then you're going to make an impact. As you go out into the place that he's placed you, you will represent him. So be a passionate lover of Jesus. Here's the second one. Don't worry or surrender yourself to fear. You believed in God, now trust and believe in me. Don't be fearful, be courageous. I don't know whether you recall at the beginning of the year when Kerry launched us all off, one of the things that she brought to us was the picture of the lion and be courageous. So be passionate lovers of Jesus. Be courageous. Don't allow fear to conquer you. And then you will do. And here's the do bit. I don't want to frighten you all again. But this is it's one of my favorite bits of scripture, but at the same time, one of the ones that is most daunting. And Jesus says, I'll tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Now that sounds awesome, doesn't it? But hang on to your hats for a moment. Because he pauses, has a bit of a think. And then says, no, even greater miracles than them will you do, because I go to be with the Father. Wow. Wow. So here's the thing. How many of us would say we want to live like heaven's near? How many of us would say we want to live like heaven's near? How many of us would say we want to represent the King in the place that he's called us? How many of us would dearly love to see the kingdom burst out all around wherever we are as God's power works through us into a needy world? The secret is passionate love for Jesus. And allowing his life to be manifest through you. Now that sounds simple, doesn't it? That sounds simple. But there's a sacrifice involved. Because if you're going to be a passionate lover of Jesus, then that requires you prioritizing your pursuit of him. And that can be quite difficult with everything else that's going on in life. So as I thought about the so what this morning, for me the so what is, am I prepared to take a step forward and say, Lord, wherever I was yesterday, I want to be more in love with you today. Wherever I was yesterday, I want your life to manifest through me more today. And here's the thing. As I thought about this, you know, I've taught the kids to do all sorts of things, diving into swimming pools. One of the things that I love doing is climbing, clambering up into rocks, maybe 3-4 meters up above either the sea or rock pools or whatever else, and then jumping off into the water. I just love it. I mean, it's kiddish, I know, but I do. I enjoy it. Teaching the kids to do that was quite interesting. The only way you can do it, the only way I've found to do it, is to go on up there with them. To go on off first, and then to be in the water looking up and gently encourage them to come down. Because shoving them in the back doesn't work. But here's the thing. That's what God's like with you. He's not wanting you to shove you in the back. He's not wanting to shove you into that river. He dearly loved you to be in the river with him. But he's there already, gently encouraging you on. You know, some of the kids took to it a bit quicker than others. Matt usually followed in fairly quickly. Joey took a bit of coaxing. Abby was the slow coach. They all got there in the end. And God's in that river today, calling you deeper. So if you're sat on the bank here with your feet wet, maybe he's calling you to paddle. If you're paddling, maybe he's calling you in to wade a little. And if you're wading, why don't you try the swim? So in closing, and I guess handing back to Andy, I brought us back to this prayer. And if you'd like to stand, and if you want to respond to God this morning, and say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done through me, then pray this prayer with me and say, Lord, encourage me deeper into your river, whatever that might mean for you. You ready? Dear Jesus, come into my life today. I want to know you better. Fill me with your hope, your love, your joy. Forgive me where I mess up. Help me to know I'm a child of God. And give me the courage to work with you for good. Amen. Amen.